welcome to the W5BSA repeater.
W5Y. It's once again time for another edition of the Houston AMSAT Net. This net meets on Tuesdays to discuss topics related to satellites, balloons, and other amateur-related items. This is net number 1638, and it's 8 p.m. Central Time on Tuesday, November the 18th, 2025, which in UTC time is Wednesday, November the 19th, 2025 at 0200. This is a directed net, and all calls should go through net control. And this net is dedicated to Andy McAllister, W5ACM. And thanks to Joe, W5BSA, from the 145.19 repeater in West Houston, and also the 443.325 repeater in Katy, and they both have a PL tone of 123.0. And then there's also links to the 146.7 repeater downtown, and its networks, and then also the AMSAT DMR Talk Group, 98006, YSF Fusion, 11689, the All-Star Node is 572580, and those connections when they're working, and then there's Echolink, and that's at star, AMSAT star, and I will now take local check-ins.
Whiskey, Delta 5, Juliet Romeo Delta, WD5JID, Carl Jersey Village, good evening.
Good evening, Carl. Good to hear you out there, WD5JRD up there in Jersey Village. Have you got anybody else out there? Okay, well, we'll try to come back about halfway through the net and take a standby and see if we have any more check-ins. We're going to start here with a little bit of information from the South Texas Balloon Launch Team. And they do have their monthly meeting on the second Wednesday of the month, and that's at 4:30 p.m. here at a local restaurant. And then they do their Zoom meeting on the internet, and that's over at k5wh.net/zoom. So we appreciate Walter putting that on there. And we have an update on W5BSA, the balloon that was launched, Joe's balloon there, launched from the Boy Scout Jamboree, which was about a month ago. And it made it across the Atlantic, went over into South America, went all the way, started heading south, kind of headed south all the way down into Bolivia. Then it started going back up to the northeast, went back up into Brazil, and then it hasn't been heard from again for about 4 days now. So we'll be listening. Hopefully it shows back up. But, you know, those rainforests and stuff over in Brazil, they could be tough. So, it might have, you know, I don't know, lost altitude or something over there. But, it could be that it's just not making it into a repeater, you know, or a digipeater, and is able to transmit its location. So we'll be keeping an eye out for a while longer on that one. Switching gears over here to the ANS bulletins, and let's see here, here we go. This week's editor is Mark Johns, K0JM, and this is ANS bulletin number 320. The SNE service bulletins are 3 weekly news and information service of AMSAT, the Radio Amateur Satellite Corporation. ANS publishes news related to amateur radio in space, including reports on the activities of a worldwide group of amateur radio operators who share an active interest in designing, building, launching, and communicating to analog and digital amateur radio satellites. And the news feed over on www.amsat.org publishes news of amateur radio in space as soon as our volunteers can post it. So please send any amateur satellite news or reports to ans-editor@amsat.org. And you can sign up for a free email delivery of AMSAT news service bulletins to the ANS list. And to join the list, you just go to mailman.amsat.org/pastorius/lists/ans.amsat.org. Okay, we want to mention real quick that you can call and check into the Houston AMSAT Net by calling 713-467-9870. You can also send an APRS message. That's to West Virginia 5 Yankee, with no dashes and no numbers, as Andy used to like to say. Or you can send an email, and that's to wv5y@comcast.net. All right, BOTON, a 1U CubeSat built by students of the Chiba University of Technology in Japan, was deployed from the International Space Station on October the 10th via the Japanese Space Agency, or JAXA, Kibu module. The satellite carries an Earth observation camera, downloading images upon ground station command at 437.375 megahertz. And these downloads occur primarily when the satellite is over Japan. Okay, you can find information on that's over at sites.google.com/p.chibakudai, that's chibakudai.jp/gardens-04/home-english=AUSTH user=0. And of course, Bruce has that link for you there over at amsatnet.com, so we appreciate him making those links available. BOTON also carries an APRS digipeater, and that's operating on 146.825 megahertz. The digipeater is also activated by ground station command. Although the original design specifications called for the digipeater to remain active for 720 minutes, or 12 hours after activation, observations have shown that it currently times out after 480 minutes or 8 hours. As a result, when the digipeater is activated by the command station in Japan, it has timed out before passing over portions of North America. Although the Chiba Institute has asked amateurs around the world for telemetry downloads, the attempts to make use of the satellite services have been frustrating for North American amateurs. BOTON is next scheduled for digipeater activation on 2025-11-16 at 0853 UTC, although current Keplerian data does not show the bird over Japan until approximately half an hour after that time. Far West Coast, United States, and Mexican stations would be in the footprint briefly in the first hour thereafter. The 8-hour activation would end at 16:53 UTC. During that period, the satellite will pass over Asia, Australia, Africa, Europe, and South America, but not over Central or North America. Interested operators are encouraged to watch for schedule changes.
PL-123.
Masahiro Sanada, J-I-1-I-Z-R, posted a nice blog about the station setup he is using for Botan operation. The post may be found over at jiizr.coclog-nisti.com. And we want to thank the Chiba Institute of Technology and Masahiro Sanada, J-I-1-I-Z-R, for that information. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y, in the Houston AMSAT net. Well, the remove before flight cue tags from AMSAT are available, and yes, they are the real thing, just like what they put on the satellites. And your $20 donation goes to help fly a Fox Plus satellite, and it does include first-class postage for those in the United States, but it's sorry, only for those in the United States. And you can order today by going over to www.amsat.org/product/amsat-remove-before-flight-keychain. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y in the Houston AMSAT net. Launch scrubbed due to highly elevated solar activity. And that would be Blue Origin scrubbing their Glenn Rocket number 2, new Glenn Rocket 2 launch. So it did get postponed for a little while, but then it did go up spectacularly. After terrestrial weather forced Blue Origin to scrub its Sunday attempt to launch its 98-meter tall or 321-foot New Glenn rocket, unacceptable space weather prevented a launch attempt on Wednesday from Cape Canaveral Space Force Station. In a post on social media, the company said NASA made the call to stand down due to highly elevated solar activity and its potential effects on the Escapade spacecraft. On Tuesday afternoon, NOAA's Space Weather Prediction Center forecast a G4 severe watch connected to a coronal mass ejection first detected on Sunday, November the 9th. It noted that this is just the fourth G4 watch issued this solar cycle, making it very rare, and added that impacts are expected about midday on November the 12th. And yes, there was a bunch of solar activity. There was a couple of X-class solar flares caused the EME ejections, and there was definitely radio blackouts and strange conditions on the amateur bands, on the HF bands. That's for sure. 40 was open in the middle of the day and weird stuff like that. And of course we had a bunch of auroras that were sighted and were posted for people to look at. Sure, some good pictures. A severe G4 geomagnetic storm lit up skies across the northern hemisphere overnight on November the 11th to the 12th. With vivid northern lights visible across Canada and the U.S. as far south as Mexico. And around here, I think they said they were seen as far south as Lake Conroe. The incredible display followed the arrival of multiple coronal mass ejections, or CMEs, eruptions of magnetic field and plasma from the sun, launched by Sunspot AR4274, one of the most energetic sunspot groups of the current solar cycle. The ongoing storm ranks among the strongest at solar cycle 25, and last night's peak at G4 clocked in as the third strongest geomagnetic storm this solar cycle. The first two CMEs struck in quick succession last night, compressing Earth's magnetic field and unleashing spectacular aurora shows that lasted well into the night. Blue Origin finally launched its second heavy lift New Glenn rocket on Thursday, November the 13th, putting two small NASA satellites into a long looping course to Mars to learn more about how the sun has slowly blown away the red planet's once thick atmosphere. Okay, we want to thank Spaceflight Now and Space.com for that information. And you can find both of those articles. And also, thanks to Bruce, they're over at AmSatNet.com. But we got spaceflightnow.com/2025/11/live-coverage-blue-origin-targets-nov-12-new-glenn-launch-following-weekend-weather-scrub. And then from space.com, about the auroras, we got stargazing, space.com/stargazing/auroras/severe-geomagnetic-storm-sparks-northern-lights-across-north-america-and-as-far-south-as-mexico-photos.
This is the W5BSA repeater.
Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y in the Houston AmSatNet. We're going to take a quick standby here, take a look around, and see who we've had checking into the net. Okay, we heard from Charlie, K5ENG, off of the phone lines there earlier, and he's over in West Houston. So we appreciate him checking in. And then we've also got Andrew, KC5LWI, and we got him checked in also there via the phone lines. And we hope he's having a good evening there this evening. Okay, we got Dale, WD0AKO. He's over there in Moorhead, Minnesota. And he does the backup archiving of the audio for the website, so we appreciate that. We have had to use it as a backup once or twice. And then we've got Vern, W0RCR. He's out there in Winsville, Missouri. And thanks to him, you can hear our net on 1.860 megahertz, full carrier AM, as Vern likes to say. And that's at 5:30 p.m. and 9 p.m. Central Time on Saturday. And then we got Kai, N6ZZO. He's up there in McKinleyville, California. He's one of our podcast listeners, and he calls and checks in there via the landline, so we appreciate that. All right, from the Internet Relay Chat System, we've got Ken, AK0A, Clay, KG4OZW, and probably Rachie's over there too, so we'll say hello to her. We have Brian, KG4WIJ, Renee in Z9T, Bob, KAWX, and W8QHP.
DL123.
And in Temeco Link, we've got Bruce, KK5DO, and he's made the URLs available over there at AmSatNet.com, so we appreciate that. We've got Dale, WD0AKO, and he's up there listening in Moorhead, Minnesota, which is, I'm sure, a lot colder than it was a month ago. We have Indoff, N6UTC, up there in Long Beach, California, so we hope he's staying away from all the floods and the washouts and all that bad stuff happening. And let's see, we've got a V01AW, so good evening, and welcome to the Houston AmSat Net, and we got you checked in. Okay, only 6 weeks or so left for you to get your coin. If you have your collection there of the AmSat President's Club coins, so you can help celebrate the 40th anniversary of amateur radio on human spaceflight, and also help support golf and the Fox Plus projects. And annual memberships start at only $120 for the AmSat President's Club. You can join today by going to amsat.org/join-v-amsat-business-club. Okay, the word is that there's alarm growing among federal workers at NASA's iconic Goddard Space Flight Center and its main campus in Greenbelt, Maryland, the nerve center for groundbreaking missions like the Hubble and James Webb Space Telescopes, as more than a dozen buildings on the campus are being emptied and padlocked during the federal shutdown with very little notice to employees, said four sources. He spoke to CNN on the condition of anonymity for fear of retribution. But they should be opening up now or opening up soon. I saw just a message today on my phone about the FCC and the FCC amateur licensing system getting back online. So that's good news. They said in one instance, furloughed employees were given just days to temporarily return to work and help empty entire buildings of highly specialized equipment, according to sources and internal emails obtained by CNN. The communications, NASA managers wrote that equipment not moved in time, including one-of-a-kind hardware, could be thrown away or donated. In a statement, a NASA spokesperson said the building closures are part of a strategic consolidation plan mapped out by Goddard leaders that should not impact ongoing projects. One document reviewed by CNN, which was compiled by more than a dozen Goddard workers concerned about the steps taken at the campus, states that 13 buildings are being shuttered, including about 100 laboratories. the roughly 1,270-acre campus includes more than 30 large buildings and dozens of smaller structures. The changes described by sources have the space agency's engineers concerned they could permanently lose access to equipment and facilities that are crucial to keeping current and future projects on track. Okay, you can read the full story over at www.cnn.com/2025/11/04/science/nasa-goddard-building-closures-government-shutdown. Okay, I know they've been working on this hard, and hopefully it's still coming in 2025. If they can squeak it in here in the next few weeks, is the SDR Gen 2, the new generation versatile GNU-based radio transverter. It's going to have 144 megahertz to 6 gigahertz continuous coverage. It will do direct VHF, UHF, 900 megahertz, LS, and C-band operations, and also up conversion to 5 and dime capability, so we will be able to cover those 5 and 10 gigahertz satellites. We'll cover all modes, CW, single sideband, FT8, although that's not really a mode, well, sort of, NBFM, SFTV, ATV, etc., all, everything. Minimum downlink data rate of 1 megaslice per second, or 1 megascan per second, and it's built to fly on Fox Plus and the Golf missions. So we should see that trickle down and be available for us, hopefully, and that will come from ESINT, the Advanced Satellite Communication and Exploration of New Technology, and that's AMSAT engineers keeping amateur radio in space. This is Marty, WV5Y in the Houston AMSAT Net. Recent months have seen space fans revel in a wealth of spectacular astrophotography depicting the evolution of Comet Lemon's glowing coma and twisting tail as it journeyed through a North Hemisphere night sky swarming with satellites. While many photographers opted to post sanitized views of Comet Lemon, others intentionally compiled their images to reveal the incredible number of satellites that crossed the night sky over the course of multiple exposures. Photographically, if someone is attempting to take a single image of a target and needs the image to be clean, free of man-made objects, well, that image is nearly impossible to obtain, astrophotographer Dan Bartlett told Space.com in an email. Every single subframe I take prior to stacking now contains at least one, and usually more than one, satellite streak. There are currently about 13,000 operational satellites orbiting the Earth, of which about 8,900 are SpaceX Starlink craft. This number is set to exponentially increase, with SpaceX alone aiming to orbit up to 42,000 of its internet beaming spacecraft, while competing companies aim to add thousands more satellites to their own mega constellations. As Astro Photographer's Combat Satellite Streaks by capturing a multitude of short exposures over the course of a single session. The images are then combined and subjected to an algorithm that determines the median value for each pixel before rejecting outlier pixels with values that exceed set parameters. Okay, you can read the full article on that one over at space.com/stargazing/astrophotography/comet-lemon-photos-r-plagued-by-satellite-streaks-here-how-amateur-astronomers-face-the-problem.
DL-123.
Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y in the Houston AMSAT net. We're right at the bottom of the hour here, halfway through the net. We'll take a quick standby and see if we have any more check-ins. So any check-ins to the Houston AMSAT net, come now. Well, hey, if you need new satellite antennas, you can purchase those M-squared LEO packs from the AMSAT store. And then when you purchase through AMSAT, you do get a bit of a discount, which is an important part. And also, a portion of the proceeds goes towards keeping amateur radio in space, which is the other important part. And you can just go over to amsat.org/product-category/hardware, and of course a lot of people will tell you those M squared antennas are probably the best satellite antennas out there that you can get for amateurs. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y with the Eastern AMSAT net, and let's see, we do have some changes to the AMSAT TLE distribution for November the 14th, 2025. Two-line elements, or TLEs, often referred to as Keplerian elements, or just KEPs in the amateur community, are the inputs to the STP-4 standard mathematical model of spacecraft orbits used by most amateur tracking programs. Weekly updates are completely adequate for most amateur satellites. So you just download this file once a week, and it'll update all the locations of the satellites and your satellite tracking programs. And you can get that from the AMSAT.org website, since CelesTrak doesn't cover that anymore. And TLE bulletin files are updated daily in the first hour of the UTC day. And new bulletin files are posted immediately after reliable elements become available for new amateur satellites. Okay, you can find more information over at www.amsat.org/Keplerian-elements-resources. Okay, and this week we've got one satellite that's been removed from the AMSAT distribution and one that's been added. The removed one is INSO, which is NORAD catalog ID 58470, and indicated from orbit on or about the 9th of November 2025. And then the new one that was just added is Severosat 1. Provisional ID is 98526. It says, note, resource constraints at USSF 118 FDS evidently are preventing generation of TLE for this satellite. The element set provided is unusually poor. Expect the satellite to pass a minute or two away from predictions. And we will thank Joe Fitzgerald, KM1P, the AMSAT Orbital Elements Manager, for that information. Okay, we got a article here about the ARIS SSTV event continues. I know they have had some problems, or they did have, with the configuration and the radios and getting things going for this latest SSTV event. So I listened several times when it should have been going over and heard nothing. So then I saw some information about they were having problems getting it configured correctly over there on Facebook. The Worldwide Amateur Radio on the International Space Station, or ARIS team, and the global family of ham radio enthusiasts celebrated 25 years of continuous amateur radio operations on the International Space Station on November the 13th, 2025. Only 11 days after the Expedition 1 crew took up residence on the International Space Station, the crew turned on the ham radio system and began speaking with teams in Star City, Russia, the NASA Goddard Space Flight Center in Greenbelt, Maryland, and NASA Johnson Space Center in Houston, Texas. Throughout it all, volunteer ARIS team members have worked side by side with space agencies and astronauts and cosmonauts and JAXA astronauts around the world to develop, certify, launch, and operate the ham radio systems that enable creation of an amateur radio bridge between the people on Earth and spacefarers in orbit. During 25 years of continuous operations, ARIS has connected 1 million kids in classrooms and information educational settings to the ISS through nearly 1,800 ham radio contacts. It's all about science, technology, engineering, and math, or STEM, educational opportunities. Like there might be a little bit of propagation going on out there. Maximum value is added by working with educators to ensure that their students learn about space science, living and working in space, ISS research, and radio communications. This educational element starts 4 to 6 months before the ARIS contact. When the time comes for their once-in-a-lifetime radio contact with the ISS, they use an amateur radio ground station at their host organization or one of our international ground stations to talk directly to the astronauts and ISS live. There are two amateur radio stations on the International Space Station, one in the Columbus module and one in the service module, supporting 24/7 communications with hands on the ground via voice and digital repeaters in space. ARIS also provides opportunities for youth and radio amateurs to downlink pictures called slow scan television, or SSTV, from the ISS, as well as standard television downlinks using our ham TV system and our LS band antennas. It's important to note that these amateur radio systems are completely independent from the ISS communication systems. Because of that, they also serve as a pivotal ISS backup communications capability. If the main ISS communication systems fail or are rendered unusable, our flight hardware and ground operations team is ready to spring into action 24/7. As we cross the threshold of 25 years of continuous operations on the International Space Station and look forward to several more, ARIS will begin a one-year commemoration of its achievements. Several interactive initiatives for youth, educators, ham radio operators, and the public are planned. Please stay tuned to the ARIS website and social media channels to find out what is planned. As reported in AMSAT News Service bulletins last week, the first commemorative event is already underway. An SSTV picture downlink event will start on November the 12th and run through November the 19th.
DL-123.
And they are looking to hopefully reschedule. I know, again, the configuration, due to the configuration problems of this second batch of SSTV pictures. So we'll be staying listening for when that's going to start and paying attention to that. So we'll let folks know. And we want to thank, though, Frank Bauer, KA3HDO, the ARIS International Chair, and of ARIS USA, the Executive Director, for that information. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y, in the Houston AMSAT Net. Let's see, let's give out the website addresses one more time. It's www.amsatnet.com for our website, for our net here. Thanks to Bruce, KK5VO, and he's the webmaster for us. And then we've got, since he's also a board of directors on AMSAT, and member, and also the awards guy for AMSAT, well, he's got information up on the site about how you can get awards or certificates for making satellite contacts. So if you'd like to do that, you can check that out. And then there's more information like that over at AMSAT.org. And in addition to that, very important stuff, there's the status of the satellites, like which ones are operating currently and which ones are having problems. And then there is the frequencies that the satellites operate on. There are uplinks and downlinks and telemetry frequencies. So be sure and check that out. And then also there is information about symposium when we make that decision and figure out where it's going to be next year. And then there's also the store. So you can buy things like M2 satellite antennas, where you get a discount, and also it helps keep amateur radio in space. Okay, this is B5Y in the Houston AMSAT Net, and the ARIS News. Amateurs and others around the world may listen in on contacts between amateurs operating in schools and allowing students to interact with astronauts and cosmonauts and JAXA astronauts, since that's who's up there right now, aboard the International Space Station. The downlink frequency on which to listen is on 145.800 MHz worldwide. And we've got a recently completed contact, the Collegio Del Faro Benavidez Tigre, Argentina, direct via OU-4BD. ISS call sign was OR-4ISS, and the crew member they spoke with was Mike Fink, KE-5AIT. The AIRS mentor was BE-3TBB. Okay, we'll say congratulations to the Collegio Del Faro students, Mike, the mentor VE3TBD, and the ground station LU4BB. And that contact was successful on Tuesday, 11/11/2025, at 18:18:56 UTC. They had a 51 degree maximum elevation.
W5BSA repeater.
Okay, then another completed contact was the Space Academy of Azerkosmos in Baku, Azerbaijan. They had a direct via 4K4AZE with ISS call sign OR4ISS, and they also spoke with Mike Fink, KE5AIT, and the AIRS mentor for them was SP3QFE, and the contact was Sunday, 11/16/2025 at 14:53:03 UTC, with only a 28-degree maximum elevation. Okay, and then they had a Russian school that was to have a contact, and the ISS call sign scheduled to be RS0ISS, and the crew member they were going to speak with is Oleg Platonov, and the AIRS mentor, RV3DR, contact 11/18/2025 at 10:10 UTC. So, see, that one just happened, or is going to happen soon, and I guess they still haven't figured out at that time what school is going to be. Okay. All right, coming up, we've got the Escuela Jose Marti, Mexico City, Mexico, a telebridge via IK1SLD. The ISS call sign, presently scheduled to be determined, and the crew member is Zena Carmen, KJ5CMN, and the AIRS mentor is BE3TBD. The contact is Wednesday, 11/19/2025. 15:34:03 UTC with a 55-degree maximum elevation. And then there's one more Russian school contact that they don't know who's going to be yet, still to be determined. The ISS call sign should be RS0ISS, and they would speak with Oleg Platonov. And the mentor is RV3DR, and the contact will be 11/20/2025 at 14:50 UTC. Sometimes a school may make a last-minute decision to do a live stream, or whether to do a last-minute glitch requiring a change of the URL. Those folks over at AIRS may not get the URL in time for publication. So you can always check live.airs.org to see if a school is live streaming. And as always, if there's an EVA, a docking or an undocking, the AIRS radios are turned off as part of the safety protocol. Okay, the crossband repeater continues to be active. It's on 145.990 megahertz up with a PL tone of 67, and 437.800 megahertz is the downlink. And if any crew member is so inclined, all they have to do is pick up the mic, raise the volume up, and they can talk on the crossband repeater. So give a listen and try to make a contact. You just never know. You might end up talking to one of the astronauts. Yeah. Okay, their usual packet operations on 145.825 MHz up and down was suspended for the SSTV event, which they didn't have problems with configuration. But that's on 145.800 MHz down, and it's supposed to go until November the 20th. Ham TV is configured for scheduled digital amateur television operations, and that's on 2395.00 MHz, or just under 2.4 GHz. And they say, note, all times are approximate. It's recommended you do your own orbital prediction or start listening about 10 minutes before the listed time. And the latest information on the operation mode for the ISS can be found right over at www.aeris.org/current-status-of-iss-stations.html. And the latest list of frequencies in use can be found at www.aeris.org/contact-d-iss.html. And we'll thank Charlie Safada, AJ9N, one of the Aeris Operation Team mentors, for that information. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y in the Houston AmSatNet. Hey, you want to fly the colors on your own grid expedition? Well, you can get an AmSat car flag and other neat stuff from our Zazzle store. And it's right over at www.zazzle.com/store/AmSat_gear. And when you do, 25% of the purchase price of each product goes towards keeping amateur radio in space.
DL-123.
Okay, we're just about out of year here, so we don't currently have any more AmSat Ambassador activities scheduled. But AmSat Ambassadors provide presentations. They demonstrate communicating through amateur satellites and host information tables at club meetings, AmFests, conventions, maker fairs, and other events. And if you're interested in becoming an AmSat ambassador, well, you can just go over to www.amsat.org/ambassador. And currently we don't have any more events scheduled for the rest of this year, but we want to thank Bo Lowry, W4FCL, the director of the AmSat Ambassador Program, for that information. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y in the Houston AmSatNet. Amazon is rebranding its Project Kuiper constellation of satellites in low Earth orbit. The program will now be known as Amazon LEO. There are now 153 Kuiper satellites in orbit, intended to provide high-speed internet connections worldwide. And we'll thank Amazon for that information. And then there's the Lambda Vision, a biotech company, that's flown 9 missions to the International Space Station, where it produced a 200-layer protein thin film as a precursor to an artificial retina implant. Most recently, the company won a NASA Phase 2 in Space Production Applications Award in September to continue developing the company's in-space manufacturing process, in this case, in partnership with microgravity research firm Space Tango. And ANS thanks payloadspace.com for that information. And you can find the full article over at payloadspace.com/lambda-vision-closes-7m-seed-round-2-make-redness-n-leo. Three Chinese astronauts finally got to return from their nation's space station on Friday after more than a week's delay because the return capsule they had planned to use was damaged, likely from being hit by space debris. The team left their Shenzhou 20 spacecraft in orbit and came back using the recently arrived Shenzhou 21, which had ferried a three-person replacement crew to the station. China's manned space agency said the original return plan was scrapped because a window in the Shenzhou 20 capsule had tiny cracks, most likely caused by impact from space debris, the agency said on Friday. Associated Press for that information, and you can read that full story over at apnews.com/china-space-station-stranded-crew-xinzhao-e266F7106491B5873030383076361. Piece of cake. Of course, Bruce has that link for it over there at amsatnet.com, so that makes it a little easier. And SpaceX launched another batch of Starlink broadband satellites on November the 10th on a Falcon 9 rocket. It was the 94th orbital mission so far this year from Cape Kennedy, breaking 2024's record of 93 launches. SpaceX executive said at a conference recently that he expected the company to finish the year with 165 to 170 Falcon 9 launches, which would also be a record. Total number of Starlink satellites launched so far in 2025 is 2,600, and the year's not over yet. We want to thank Space News Editor's Choice Newsletter for that information. Okay, you can join AMSAT today by going over to launch.amsat.org. And in addition to regular membership, AMSAT offers membership to societies, which is a recognized group, club, or organization. Students under the age of 25 are free membership. Memberships are available also for annual and lifetime terms. You can contact info@amsat.org for additional membership information. 7-3 is to help keep amateur radio in space, and that's this week's ANS editor, Mark Johns, K0JM, that's mjohns@amsat.org. And I want to say kudos to the editors for getting that change in there about the under 25 and the students for getting their free membership. That was a big development there that they decided on at the board of directors meeting over there in Phoenix, Arizona at the symposium. When they had the board of directors meeting, they just decided, well, try to make more younger people interested in the MSAT, we'll just give them free memberships. And it's a good idea. Okay, this week's ANS editor, Mark Johns, K0JM, and that's mjohns@amsat.org. And the ANS is a service of AMSAT, the Radio Amateur Satellite Corporation, and they reside at 712 H Street, ME, Suite 1653, Washington, D.C., 20002. And AMSAT is a registered trademark of the Amateur Satellite Corporation. Okay, well, we hope everybody enjoyed this week's version of Houston AmSatNet. Stay safe out there. Keep playing with those radios and making lots of satellite contacts. So holidays are quickly approaching. They'll be here before we know it. But anyway, I hope everybody did well in the this last weekend's HF contest. For those who participated in it, in the sweepstakes, the ARRL sweepstakes. But I want to say 7-3 for everybody, and stay safe out there. We look forward to catching everybody next week. So from Andy, W5ACM, Bruce, KK5DO up there in Roman Forest, myself, Marty, WV5Y in Northwest Houston, 7-3 for this week from the Houston AmSatNet.